This episode brought to you by Syrup Co. Syrup Co. makes simple syrups for your cocktails, coffee drinks, sodas, and more. Nate and Jacob started Syrup Co. in 2020 as a way for people to create tasty drinks at home that are easy to make and super accessible. They cook, bottle, and label every single bottle themselves right in Salt Lake. From their roasted jalapeno syrup using fresh roasted jalapenos to their cherry pie syrup using tart cherries from a small orchard in Willard, Utah. They try to use the freshest and most local ingredients when making their syrups. With fantastic flavors and an Instagram full of recipes, they will not let you down. Find their syrups at a handful of locations and buy directly on their website by going to www.syrupco.com. Use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out on their website for 15% off your order. That's right. Tell them we sent you. Plug in the code TASTEMASTERS and save 15% off your order. Until the next syrup, my friends. You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we sit down and learn from artists within the world of craft beer, liquor, and various fermentation techniques. We are in the depths of Strap Tank. We are here recording in the brew house, which is a first. And here I have Derek DeBoard, head brewer of the old Strap Tank. Derek,
hey,
thanks
I'm
for coming.
I'm back again.
Yeah, it's about time. It's been a minute, dude. When's the last episode you were here for?
Oh, man. Might have been the Grid City.
Grid City episode?
Maybe.
Wow.
Well, we've been splitting hours, been working every weekend,
yeah.
Man.
I mean, yeah, we've been working a lot. And then I have someone from Epic today for you, Mr. Gus Erickson.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for having me.
How you doing, homie? Doing what's going good? On, man?
It's, you know, easy going. A lot going on at the brewery. It's, you know,
hell
it's a
yeah.
Fall. Our big Baptist season. But, yeah, I'm just excited to get some skiing in a couple months here.
Are you a ski bum?
Oh, yeah.
For real?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit. Not that it's a bad thing. I don't ski. Derek and I talked about this the other day. We don't do no sports.
Yeah, it's been a little while for me. Yeah, it's been longer than a little while. I'm talking like 10 plus years, at least.
So what do we do? Ski, snowboard?
Snowboard.
Snowboard?
Yeah.
And where do
yeah.
you like to go, usually?
Both the canyons. So I'm on the Icon Pass, so just about everywhere.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then, yeah, I can usually bum a ride off of somebody and hit another resort.
There
so
you go, dude.
It's endless fun.
Are you from Utah?
I am.
Yeah, yeah. Well, where'd you grow up?
From Bountiful. So did all my growing up there. Yeah, born and raised. And then traveled really far all the way down to Salt Lake City for the U for college.
Gotcha. Yeah,
that's a hell of a drive.
Yeah.
Did you like it, though?
Yeah, it was good.
And then you currently live in Salt Lake?
Mm-hmm. Yep, so I'd love to skip town, but, you know, Salt Lake's grown on me.
I got you.
I feel like most people who stick around, it's that way.
What did you study?
I studied psychology at the U.
Right on.
Nice.
So yeah,
we gotta watch ourselves. Is that what we gotta say?
Yeah,
break us down.
Shit,
dude. Damn. All right. So you have a bunch of beers in front of us, and you brought like 50 beers from Epic, right?
Yeah. I did not go. I'm not shy when it comes to bringing beers. So I brought the whole Baptist lineup for our 2021 lineup, which is six variants plus. I brought these 16-ounce cans. Which is a new thing we're doing. We brew a new beer every month, and we package it into these 16-ounce cans, and then it's gone forever, so it's just one and done.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
And then some little 12-ounce ones. A Spiral Jetty we're starting to put into cans and a couple others. And then this fun one from Paca Hard Seltzer Company. It's hard coconut water is what I brought. So
yeah, I've seen those around.
It's
I've started
different.
Seeing those in, like, Harmon's and... Like,
yeah.
I think I've seen them at Smith's and stuff too. So, mm-hmm. All right. Well.
Then you got like an actual Halloweeny one.
Yeah. That was our October release. It's got Citra. So, So the way it works with all these beers is there's a group of about 5 to 8 of us who hop on a call every day. Or, sorry, not every day, every week. And it's our new brand committee. So we hang out, we spit ideas back and forth. And part of it is we're coming up with concepts and beer styles for like the next month or two. And yeah, we landed on It's Got Citra. We kind of were struggling with the name, and so we gave our graphic designer just like a very basic idea, and she knocked it out of the park with that label, with that little hot monster.
Yeah.
And we decided to do like a Halloween spin on it. So
yeah, it's got the Halloween font and everything like that. It's actually kind of cool. I like that a lot.
Yeah, it's a fun beer, and the label art's super fun too.
Obviously, it's packed full of Mosaic hops.
Obviously.
So you're saying that you guys are doing one and done, so there's never coming back ever again?
So that's the initial goal, or idea, is that, yeah, we're just going to brew it once. We've got this limited supply, and then we'll never come back to it. However, we have brought back two beers now. So put the IPA in the coconut. People loved it last year. We decided to do it again. And then Creamsicle IPA. Ah. It was like our first lactose beer. We didn't go like all out, not like super creamsicle-y, but it still has that, it'll remind you of like a hot summer day.
Yeah, we've had that. We had that this summer, I believe.
Yeah. So like we rock one every summer as well. Like in ours, yeah, we do like a New England style version. Yeah. Brew with lactose, a lot of like Mandarin of Bavaria hops and tons of orange peel.
Yeah.
And then we blend a little bit of vanilla in there, and yeah, it's one of our top sellers in the summer. Everybody loves them.
And it still tastes like beer at the end of the day. It's awesome.
Yeah,
that's how it should
delicious.
Be in my mind. But so let's break open one while we're talking the rest about Gus. But Gus, let's which one right here is one that either you're drinking right now or you want to drink or you want to showcase? Like this is balls in your core, brother.
You know, since we're on this orange, this kind of creamsicle-y topic, let's do the Feel the Beat from the Tangerine.
Feel the Beat from the Tangerine.
And then we'll let these guys warm up a little bit.
I gotcha. Good. Ooh, so you do know a little bit about the beer, homie. Tell you what. So this one, tell us about this one, the Feel the Beat from the Tangerine IPA.
Yeah, so same story. We're all shooting ideas back and forth during New Brand. And someone said, let's brew a Tangerine IPA. It's summertime. Why not? And we're thinking about names, and Corinne, who Dave, you know, she tells this story about her daughter, Alex, and this fun story about they used to listen to ABBA in the car, and she would just belch out the lyrics incorrectly when it came to the part, Feel the Beat. From the Tangerine, and she'd sing Feel the Beat, I messed up.
Feel the Beat from the Tambourine, and she would say Feel the Beat from the Tangerine.
Exactly, yeah. And so we're like, oh, that's adorable. We got to go with that name. So ABBA-inspired Tangerine IPA.
Well, even on the bell on the can, it says, hey, Dancing Queen, you and your mama Mia will go head over heels for this Tangerine IPA. So take a chance on me with your money, money, money. We know you won't be left with a hole in your soul. See, that's clever. And the label is super cool. That's ABBA-esque, you know? I like it.
That's great.
So do you guys have one graphic designer for everything? Or is it graphic designers?
We've got one primary graphic designer, and then a few of us can, like, tweak things here and there.
Gotcha.
But it's she did this whole label.
Yeah, I like it a lot.
Top to bottom, yeah. Well, cheers.
Cheers, gentlemen. See, I like the nose in this one. This is a candle-making beer right here.
Candle making.
So I have this ongoing joke that I know Diaz is rolling her eyes about, but when I smell a beer, I want to make that beer into a candle scent. Uh-huh. So like imagine lighting a candle with this. You're like, oh, I want a little bit of epic Tangerine IPA. And light it like, ooh, smells good in this house, right? But I like the Tangerine on this one.
This is definitely a summertime crusher. Like, well, this is a 7% ABV. Nice. So
yeah,
just chock full of tangerine, just right up front on the nose, followed to the back of the tongue, all the way down. Like, I mean, it nailed it exactly what it says. Is you know, it's a Tangerine IPA.
Yeah,
like, it's still got that soft bitterness, but it's not lingering. Like it's there. Like you feel it, you taste it, and it's gone. So it makes you like. I mean, it kind of feels like thirst quenching. So you're able to drink it, and you're like, oh, that was good. Like, all right, hey, you know what? I'll drink more. I'll drink another one. Then you're four deep. And
they're like, 7%. Oh, shit.
Trouble.
Oh, shit. Yeah, yeah. I miss... Gus, what do we think about this one? Like, what's your opinion on this beer? Are you an IPA drinker? Are you a... What's your favorite style? Let's go there.
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite style. I mean, that changes day to day, really.
Day to day, damn, son.
As the season... Okay, maybe not day to day. As the seasons change, yeah, it's always switching up. But right now, being the fall, we just had a ton of cold rain.
Oh,
so
God.
I'm starting to lean towards all those stouts and, you know, heavier beers, fuller bodies. That's what I want. But it wasn't long ago that we're all sipping on crushable beers and just
for sure
anything light would fit the bill.
It was like 3 weeks ago.
It was literally.
Like, I swear it was like 85 degrees. Like a couple weeks ago, we had the air conditioner on here. Mm-hmm. And now we're rocking both the heaters.
And I have both jackets
no fall,
on.
No fall. Straight to winter.
I know. I walked in the other day and I was like, oh, it's freezing. And we have the window AC units. And I'm like, oh, damn, those are just letting in cold air.
Gotcha. Man,
but yeah, they're just on last week.
I feel like fall kind of skipped in Utah and went to like end of fall. So we're like bringing on beginning of winter. So instead of having the fall season, it's just like end of fall, winter. God damn it. Utah does that, right? That's the one thing about Utah I complain about is the weather. But right now...
Very temperamental.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Favorite style of beer right now?
Right now?
You know, I guess you said stouts, right? That's what you said, stouts.
Yeah, probably stouts.
So then your opinion on this IPA?
Yeah, I mean, I think it tastes great. I think Derek hit the hammer on the head with the tangerine profile is obviously right up front and forward. But it's not super aggressive. It's not so that you're going to, you know, take... one sip or just have one glass, you might have two or even three of these before you realize the ABV catches up to you.
Yeah,
for sure.
A four pack of this goes down like incredibly smoothly. It's like very easy to drink. Like enough of the tangerines there to create that kind of juice-like feel on your tongue as well, which makes it even easier to drink.
Unfortunately. You know? Unfortunately. That's true. So, guys, tell me how did you get into... How long have you been with Epic? How'd you get into Epic?
What do you do with Epic?
What do you do at Epic? You and Epic. Let's start off how you got in there first.
Yeah, so I was at the U doing psychology. I got a job there where I was working in research with human subjects.
Oh, shit.
It was fun. It was we're studying autonomous vehicles and driver behavior.
No way.
So we got to hook them up to like EEG systems and sit in the passenger seat.
Perfect place for that in Utah.
Yeah. I mean, we have like a bunch of different style roads. So we're trying like straight roads, like going out to Wendover. You don't really need to be awake for that.
Oh, guys. Hey, we're not promoting that here.
Maybe we'd scratch that one out. I mean, but you know what I'm saying? It's such a dull drive. You don't really have to pay that much attention.
Then you have the canyons all throughout Utah that you really have to be focused on. You know, all the S-curves going through, like, Big Cottonwood and Little Cottonwood. Yeah, it's safe.
Exactly. Crazy. So we're in the perfect spot to test that, like, how people are reacting through that whole long drive to see their attention kind of deplete. So, yeah, it was fun. I'd sit in the passenger seat, and people would whip me around in, like, a Tesla or a Cadillac or a couple others, like Ford has one.
For real?
Nissan.
Oh, wow. Is that kind of scary sometimes?
Yeah. Yeah. Anytime somebody else is behind the wheel, it's kind of dicey.
Gotcha.
To be honest, I felt safer with the automation most of the time.
Really?
Some people couldn't get it. And so it was just kind of frightening watching them battle the system. But for the most part, as soon as they clicked that on, all of these other safety features engage. And I definitely felt safe.
Get out of here. No way. Yeah. Even as a passenger.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was fun. I did that for about a year and a half.
Okay.
And then the pandemic hit, and human subjects research just got its head chopped off.
Yeah.
So,
I can see that.
I had a background in psychology. And Epic was in need of like a little bit of web development and... I pitched being able to help fix up the website and then start on social media. And then I just kind of built out marketing from there.
So you are the social media dog. Like you're the big dog for that one right now?
There's a handful of us. Okay. But I probably put most of the effort into
that. Gotcha.
Into that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cool. And then you've been up there for the past year and a half? Year?
Yeah. So that I started with Epic in the late spring. I want to say it was May of 2020. Part-time, but then I was full-time in the fall.
Cool. And you liking it so far?
Yeah, it's great. It's
gotcha.
Great people, great beer, a great location. I only live a couple blocks away, so I can
easy.
Walk.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you do just the Salt Lake hub, or do you do the Denver as well?
I do help out with Denver.
Yeah?
I'm a little bit more hands-off with Denver. It's okay. just hard to do. You know, like social media helps to be there physically. So there's gotcha. Things I can't do. But whenever I can, I help them out.
Okay. Yeah. I like it. And you said earlier you were doing tours. You were giving tours of the facility in Salt Lake. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we hadn't really had a solid tour schedule. Okay. It was more like people would walk in, like an out-of-towner or whoever. They're having a beer, and they say, hey, can you guys give me a tour? And depending on who was on staff, they'd say, yeah, sure, just come on back. But now we're starting to build out a schedule so that people can get that experience.
Because now we're kind of coming out of, it's hard to say that, but kind of coming out of COVID-ish. but like things are kind of getting back to normal, so you have to be able, oh, we'll give tours again kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, all right, I'm ready for beer too. I don't know about you guys. Do we need a dump glass? Do you want to dump it or just finish it? You guys tell me.
I can just finish it.
Yeah, I can finish it.
What a hard life you have, Gus.
This isn't that, all that much.
All right, guys. I would like to try one of the Big Baptist beers.
Yes.
So you have – let's start with doing that because I know you get excited. Last year, it's the first time I ever contacted you, and I reached out to you, and you gave me all the information for that year's release, which mm-hmm. is during the pandemic. It was kind of hard. They were beautiful. My favorite one was the Bigger Batter Baptista. That one was fucking wow. And then there's the one in was that the same one was in Agave Barrels? Which one did you put in Agave Barrels?
That one was.
That's the one that was like blew my mind. Like, oh, I love this. And I have one bottle. It's in my house, and I'm not opening it until I'm about to die. Like, I just holding on to it. And then there's the raspberry chocolate one you guys came out with. Mm-hmm. And I enjoy that one. Even my wife's like, oh. Because it's like a 13% beer. And my wife's like, oh.
And that's where, like, I think Epic really shines is make it like all the Baptist beers, like with how strong a majority of them are, how easy they are to drink. Like, it's very dangerous, but they have just nailed it down. And I mean, that's that. When you think of Epic, you automatically think the Baptist series.
Yeah.
Like, that is the face of Epic. That's what they're known for. I mean, back in the day, I would argue it would be like the Brainless series as well, but the Brainless has kind of just been dropping off. Not as many people talk about it anymore. It's all about the Baptist. Yeah. If you're looking for a stout in Utah, first thing out of everyone's mouth is like, oh, Baptist.
Yeah.
Like, oh, hey, I've had that before. No, yeah. They change. They're constantly changing changed. Every single one. That's what's great about it. You can keep going back for the same labeled beer, but it's always going to be just slightly different.
Yeah. The coconut one, something with coconut, and last year, it was the barrel day, double barreled, I don't know, something, but had coconut in it. I was like, okay, this last year was very impressive to me.
It's hard to keep up with all these.
Yeah.
So and then this, you bring in six.
You got six more. Are you always doing six different ones every year?
So that's like the blessing and the curse, right? We can keep on building on this series and make it bigger and better every year, but at some point we're having to top ourselves from last year. So in 2020, we did six. This year, we're doing six again. I don't see it growing to seven or eight. But, I mean, I think the plans still are to do another six next year.
Oh, hell yeah. So let's see. So, Dave, I guess, introduce us to all six, all the homies.
Yeah, just from left to right, how I've got them displayed here. We brought back Double Barrel this year. Back in 2016, we did Double Barrel for the first time. It was huge. People loved it. I still see people doing check-ins on Untappd every now and then. God, it's kind of fun.
What a dark place Untappd is.
Yeah, very. So it's kind of fun to see people breaking that out of the cellar. Yeah. We decided to bring it back. Same recipe and everything. We barrel-aged cacao nibs. We barrel-aged Ethiopian coffee beans, and then we blend them into the bright tank at the end of the process with our Big Bad Baptist.
That's really cool. I didn't realize he's got a shotgun.
Double barrel.
I never realized that until just now. Instead of the cross, he's holding. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Well done.
There's some subtle things we throw in these.
I like
2
that.
Years ago, he was holding a coconut instead of a little stein.
I like that. God damn.
On the next one over right here is Naked Baptist.
Hey, yo.
And so that one was probably everybody in-house. That was what people were most excited about. It's actually not a new liquid in itself for us. It's always passed through our pipes from tank to tank every time we make Big Bad Baptist. It's the same base, but we don't barrel age. Excuse me, we don't. We do barrel age. I should probably start this over, so it's more
fun. Go for it, brother.
So Naked Baptist is actually not new for any of the brewers or cellarmen. They sip on it all the time. It's just like our Big Bad Baptist, but it's before it gets adulterated with coffee and cacao. So it's passed through our pipes 1,000 times before. The brewers love it. Everybody in-house loves it. But we've never actually thrown it into bottles until this year.
Oh, hell yeah. What made you guys pull that trigger?
The committee, everyone bucking heads and deciding like what would be fun to do, what wouldn't. And since we had never done it before, we're just like, screw it. Let's release this beer. Everybody loves it. Why not throw it into a bottle?
Yeah. And then you got this one, then the rye. I'm curious about this one.
Yeah, Baptist in the Rye. it's barrel aged exclusively in rye barrels. So it's got our Big Bad Baptist base, but when we move the liquid into barrels, it's just I believe we went with Templeton rye barrels this year primarily. But usually it's a little bit of a mix. You know, it's hard to source purely from one place. That one's a lot of earthier barrel characters because typically barrel-aged beer is in bourbon barrels. That just seems to be the trend. So we're like, all right, let's do rye barrels.
Hell yeah.
The next one is Double Jam.
Double Jam.
So you were talking about the raspberry chocolate from last year, David. And this one is definitely going to be the most similar.
Raspberries and blueberries, blackberries, added. Look at that. It's cute. It's a cute label. He's got a bushel of blackberries and raspberries. Wow.
Yeah, so I'm yet to try that one. I'm excited because I literally grabbed it off the line today on the way up here.
Secrets.
it's going to be good. It's super fruit forward and
sweet.
Yeah, a lot like literally, that chocolate
sweet.
Raspberry.
Yeah.
Sweet. chocolate mint. Excuse me, is the next one here, and just like what it says, it's a lot of chocolate, a lot of mint. Part of the inspiration behind that one was we released a 16-ounce beer last year in November, and it was, we call it Grandma Van's Candy Cane Stout, and so I always mix up whether it's peppermint or spearmint, but we decided to go with the other type of mint, and that one, it turned out great. People were drinking it, but Jordan, our head brewer, he was like, "I know we can do better. Let's throw it into the stout lineup. Let's see if we can perfect this thing."
Well done. But I'm disappointed.
You gotta have
that one. But I'm disappointed in the label because you have the regular Baptist chilling there, but no mint. He's not holding a chocolate bar.
Just some green.
You have raspberries in the other one. Then you have a double barrel.
Right here.
Stop. You know, but he needs to be holding a mint early. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we could add a little sprig in there. Next time. We'll
next
do it for
time.
You next
time. I figured to do that. You got me all geeking about that. So now you got to do it for everything. Every single one. It's got to be like a little.
That little.
Because this last one is the Black Forest Cake. Okay, tell us about this one.
So yeah, we're leaning, of course, a little bit more pastry style with this one. We wanted to do something similar to pecan pie that we did last year.
That one
was a fan favorite. And so we're tossing around ideas, and German chocolate cake came up, and we're toying with the ingredients, and there's something about them I can't remember. That would have been a struggle in the process. I don't know where. I think it was hot side would have been like kind of tough to brew. So we decided to go with these ingredients, and Black Forest cake it's a layered cake traditionally, and it's cherries, chocolate, and coconut.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. That sounds really cool. I mean, Derek and I have been throwing around the idea for a cake beer, right? So that's be nice to try that one and see how it comes out and turns out. But you could do, you could know, you could do, because Derek and I, we made a Ho-Ho and Twinkie beer. So you could put cake inside of a beer.
Just throw it on in there.
Oh, yeah. We did it during the mash.
It was in the morning. We were like gutting all the whipped cream out of the Twinkies and like the sponge. We tried to soak up as much of the oil as possible. And right to the mash, like the sponge went. And then the whipped cream went in during like boil, lasts like 20 minutes. So we can break down that whipped cream. It smelled like a Twinkie. It's like just
it legit did, though. And it's going to taste like, hope it comes out next week. So it'd be gone by the time this episode comes out, but it's and then our friend Chad Hopkins, he, for his chocolate pumpkin stout, he will go to Costco, get pumpkin pies, and throw it in the boil.
Wild. You guys are crazy.
I'm telling you, so like, I mean, get some goddamn chocolate cake and just start shoving it in there. There we go. It's real, dude, and
that's
you
fun
know,
too. That's like a lot of fun to see photos and videos of that sort of thing. It's definitely grabbing.
That's the thing about our culture is like we see other random shit happening. Like either I think we, I don't know, Derek. I want to hear your opinion about this. For me, when I see it and I see someone else doing something weird, like you know, candy in a beer or something like that, my first response is gross. What the hell? Then my second response is, fuck, I didn't think of that one. You know what I mean? But yeah. I don't know, Derek.
I mean, for me, I've always just been so traditional with all these beers. And, I mean, it's just got to the point now where it's just starting to get fun. Like, now I'm like, you know what? This is something I would never do. I'm like, yeah, screw it. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, why not? Mm-hmm. Like, when David hit me with the idea for the Twinkie beer, he's like, I have a beer idea, but you're not going to like it. I'm like, let me hear it. He's like, no, never mind.
Yeah, I took it back.
And I was
right
like, just let me hear it. He's like, can I do a Twinkie cream ale? I'm like, sure. You know, just immediately, like, grabbed him by surprise. I'm like, wait, what?
I was going to defend it. I was going to
let me do
like,
that?
All right. I got to pitch this idea.
I'm like, sure. I'll do a Ho-Ho one. He's like, what? Yeah, just like,
so we,
like,
and
sure.
We had so much fun brewing that. Like, the day we did Twinkie, we were geeking, laughing the whole time. Yeah. We did his Ho-Ho one. We were laughing our asses off. And like, we'd go upstairs to do something, come back downstairs. Like, it smells like the fucking Ho-Ho's down here. You know what I mean? It smelled like the brewery smelled like.
And taking apart those Ho-Ho's was kind of a pain in the ass. I have pictures. Peel all the chocolate off the outside, then we like open it up and try to get all the frosting out of the inside of
those
as well.
There's more frosting in Twinkies than there are in Ho-Ho's, by the way. We found that out. So don't get Ho-Ho's if you want cream filling. We felt gypped when we opened these Ho-Ho's.
Yeah,
but think about it. Like these ideas you guys have for the Big Bap, like you can, like they're not that crazy. As long as it still tastes like a beer and it'll complement the main focus, which is you guys like to do the barrel-aged stout. So as long as that's the main star that shines through, why not flavor with weird shit? But I prefer natural flavoring versus artificial, which most people should and I think do. But this is all great too. Like, I like this.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, we're throwing real ingredients in there too. Yeah. We're not using artificial ingredients, or at least not to my knowledge. I don't think anybody's sneaking something in there. But yeah, the flavor profile is definitely different if you're using the real thing. Or even like the real Twinkie itself.
Oh yeah, we put 15 Twinkies in a 5 gallon batch. Yeah. We put what 10 in a 5 gallon of Ho-Ho's, something like that.
Like it's almost 20 Ho-Ho's. It's like both boxes, so 18. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
we kept
two of them out. Yeah.
For decor reasons. But let's break one open, Gus. Which one do you think either you like right now, or just you want to try? You want to break down? You want to showcase?
I was gonna ask you guys which ones. You wanted to try first.
Derek, I'll give you that one.
So just because, like, I mean, I'm a huge fan of rye barrels, and that's what we did with our last Imperial Stout was throw it in rye barrels. So I am all about the rye, so let's go ahead and pop one of those open because I want to get a little comparison between how well I'm doing versus, like, you know, Utah's Stout Masters, you know.
Which is a great – because that's what I like about Derek is Derek, he's always trying to, you know – kind of being an apprentice, I will, to Derek in a way. I'm learning how he's always trying to perfect his beers. He's trying to perfect like what makes him. He likes the traditional beers, and Derek's always trying to perfect them. But he's never wanted to diss him and be like, "This is dog shit. How can I be better?" If it's good, it's like I want to make something like that. Like I really do, and I like that.
Yeah, that's a great mindset I always think no matter how good you are or how good you think you are, there is always room for improvement.
And
the second you think you're better than everybody else is the second you start going downhill.
Slippery slope.
Yeah, because sometimes you're like, oh, I made a kick-ass beer, but then I guarantee you could find one better. Guaranteed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, every time. Every time. Just when you think you're like, yes, yes, somebody in town beats me at a competition. I'm like, damn, I'm not going to name any names.
But, it's just... We get better and keep pushing, and it's awesome, right? Celebrate that. I like the chocolate on the nose.
Which coffee was used in this? Do you have any idea?
I know we normally go through Blue Copper.
Okay.
I'm not sure what blend this was, but yeah, usually they take care of our beans and then roast as well.
Is I get that coffee right away. Like, it's very nice.
But yeah, we used Ethiopian beans for the double barrel, so I imagine we went with Ethiopian realm as well.
Huh. I don't get heavy rye.
Definitely not heavy rye, but it's there. But it's also at the same time, like, there's the coffee, there's the cacao nibs, like there's a lot going on with this beer. Ooh. But it's a very nice balance of the bourbon rye character.
It is.
Like, it's not over the top. Like, that's where I felt like mine, the rye character is a little too much over, like, the base beer.
Yeah.
And when it's out of balance like that, then you start noticing it more and more and more. Well, this is a very nice balance between them. It's not as astringent as a lot of, like, really dark, heavy stouts. Touch of that sweet, kind of not tart, but that sweet tartness at the finish. This beer is what, 11.5%.
Doesn't really drink like that.
No, it drinks like an 8% that someone stuck in barrels for who knows how long. And it's a very easy drinking beer. I think this is great.
Well done, crew. You know what? I want Diaz cupcakes right now.
I think this this will kill. Like, this is a great beer.
What do you think, Gus?
I dig it. I mean, it's a lot like our Big Bad Baptist. We decided to go purely with rye barrels, and it's not overpowering, but it's there.
Huh.
And I think that's exactly what the guys are going for.
And who are the brewers over there? I haven't met either of them, I don't think.
Yeah, we got Jordan, who's head of operations, Shoebach. He's been here for a long time.
Oh, Shoebach.
He's gotcha. He doesn't get to brew as much these days. So our brewers right now are Matt and Wes.
Matt and Wes.
Yeah.
Love to pick their brains.
Who's working in the cellar right now?
Josh is over there in the cellar, and Michael's kind of both. He's like half cellar, half brewmaster. Yeah,
he's one of the hybrids.
He's a hybrid,
Gotcha.
Yeah, where he's needed.
Huh. I like this one, D. It's good.
So do I. It's starting to warm up a little bit, too.
Yeah, I haven't let it warm up yet, huh? I rolled the dice and left these in my car last night. And when I woke up, I saw how much frost, that layer of frost on my car. And I was like, oh, no, I hope they didn't bust.
Gotcha.
Plenty of alcohol in these to keep from freezing. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
So, Gus, when you do these labels, do you help facilitate that to happen? Are you the one behind, I know you're on social media, but what's your role in helping these labels get labeled to?
Yeah, so we have another, a subcommittee from that big one, that new brand committee.
From your daily phone call?
Weekly. I did say daily at first. and we talk about the actual graphic behind it and the concept.
Cool.
So we just started rolling this out with, a bigger group of people. I think there's six of us now.
Sweet.
We talk about, what the brewers want to brew. We try to pin down a name.
Yeah.
We come up with a color scheme or just a general graphic layout. For Big Bad Baptist, it's pretty straightforward. They always follow basically the same diagram. But for these ones, we get to be totally abstract. These ones by the new 16-ounce cans that we do, it's just fair game. It's a blank canvas.
So why 16 ounce cans? What's the sexiness about them? Why not 12, all 12s? Why not slim cans? Like, what's why 16 ounces?
I mean, personally, for me, I enjoy 16 ounce because it's a little bit more. Usually, I sip on a 12 ounce beer and I want at least one more with the 16
full
ounce.
Full pint.
Right. No, yeah. Just... You want that full pint. And maybe even 2 pints, right? Yeah. Like you get, sure. You have that, you can make that decision. Whereas with 12 ounce cans, it's like, do I just want one? If I have to commit to a 6 pack and I don't like it on that first
sip. I look
sip.
Like an alcoholic yeah. if I get a 6 pack versus like 3 16 points.
No, I think that right there is, yeah, if you buy a 6 pack, then you're dedicated to 6 of them. You know, the 16 ounces, most of the time you find them for sale just alone by themselves, like, which is yeah. really nice. I mean, even just buying a 4 pack, you can handle it a little bit better than all 6. But yeah, I agree. 16 ounce is definitely the way to go. I mean, full pint versus a 12 ounce. Cause, you know,
well, guys, real quick, we're going to take a break real quick. I got a little bathroom break and a, restocking break, but until we come back. All right, guys.
This episode is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. Hopkins Brewing is located off 21st South in Salt Lake. Hopkins has live music, local art, and they use locally grown and sustainable ingredients in both their food and craft beer. Their food menu is off the charts. Their handcrafted beer is also fantastic. Upon checking out, use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off any food. That's right. Use the code TASTEMASTERS to get 10% off your entire meal. Come get a pint at Hopkins and support your local breweries. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. If you like what you hear, want to help us out, go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help.
So, Gus, here's a question that's probably, Derek might roll his eyes at this question, but are we ever going to see Big Bad Baptist in cans? Ever?
Boy, do I have some news for you.
Shut the hell up.
So, yeah, let's put the Baptist to the side for now. That's part of the reason why I wanted to bring Jetty. So... you guys know, or maybe you do, maybe you don't, that Epic was pretty gung-ho about glass. 22-ounce bombers, that's our thing. It works. Let's not stray from it. Well, we, this summer, were toying with the idea of cans. And we started canning all of these ones here. And then we ventured into our old brand. So Spiral Jetty just started getting canned. Pfeifferhorn Lager is also in 12-ounce cans, which both are available in singles or 6 packs. We also expanded to Double Skull, Doppelbach, Brainless Golden Ale, and Hopulent. And then finally, Big Bad Baptist, we actually have in cans at the brewery.
Jeez.
Yeah, so the day has finally come.
In 12-ounce like cans, right?
12-ounce or 16?
12s for the Baptist. 16s, that's dangerous.
I mean,
16 4-pack.
They were saying dangerous, but you know we got the 22-ounce bottles right here. Nothing but Baptist.
Yeah, yeah. All you gotta do is just share, right?
But, you know, 16? I mean, 12-ounce. That's easy to drink on your own of Baptist. Like that, I can handle that, no problem.
I think it's just one and done. But,
like doing a big bottle like this is like, I better be hanging out with this guy or with the wife or something. You know, it's like. You know, I mean, I'm all about sharing beer, anyways. I mean, I would like to go to a bottle share and you know, everyone brings a bottle, and then you just have a little bit of each one, so you're able to actually try and enjoy all these beers, not just finish the 122-ounce, and now you got a solid buzz going on. You're not going to really care too much about the next beers in the lineup. It's like, I've always been a fan of, for the most part, smaller, stronger beers, 16-ounce, like, pints across the board for everything else.
I like the 22-ounce format. Like back when we started, it was mostly craft beer oriented people, and they're grabbing a couple bottles and doing the bottle share thing, which is fun because it fosters community. But now the market's changing, right? And which is great. A lot of other people are experiencing craft beer for the first time ever.
Uh-huh.
And they want cans. And that's great too, but it is more single serving, whereas this is like grab a couple friends, sit around a table, hang out, enjoy a beer.
Yeah, absolutely. Are we going to see a Big Bad Baptist seltzer?
Oh my God.
Are we going with the times? Going down that rabbit hole.
Ooh.
Could you imagine? Jesus Christ.
I'm trying to think about it.
Or a seltzer flavored like Big Bad Baptist. No. Derek is dying over here.
Yeah, I put a stop to that seltzer stuff here.
Right, but
it's like we will outsource our seltzer. I don't have time or space to brew seltzers here, so we always go with like local companies with their seltzer waters, so we at least have like carry local Utah companies.
Yeah, because they're doing good things, right?
Yeah.
It's not just all White Claws.
It just helps out. Why go to a large like beer company and purchase Budweiser, Bud Light when you're surrounded by all these local breweries?
Sure.
That definitely need some help, especially over the last 2 years.
Yeah.
And same with seltzers. I mean, we got tons of breweries in Utah to choose from, so why not bring a little bit of their stuff down south? And by doing so, they think about us the next time they're looking to fill a tap spot.
Yeah.
And like, hey, well, we're over at Strap Tank, so hey, let's call Derek and try and get one of his beers here in Salt Lake.
Hell yeah. And that's we go back to the community, like getting together. Like, that's the thing. It's like we're all getting to know each other and help each other out. And Derek said it earlier. Once you think your shit doesn't stink anymore, that's when you start going away from the fold, unfortunately.
Right, yeah.
That's why it's beautiful to be in it. And you're in it, right? Like, I know you could probably use your degree and go, college stuff and go do that. But I think secretly you're like, this beer thing's kind of cool. Oh, don't you?
Oh, for sure.
Don't you? Yes, I told you.
No, this beer thing is.
Once you get in there, you get deep, you're like, oh, man, I love it here. Uh-huh. Like, that's why I'm always telling the wife, she's always like, why do we got to do beer things all the time? I'm like, bro, because it's awesome. And then she goes, that's really cool. Like, it's really fun. Like, she sees the camaraderie we all have. Like,
right.
Brewers, distillers, cider makers, like kombucha makers, you name it. And people who help in it. You got like the coffee makers, the cupcake queens, like like that. Just helping people.
Everybody's doing collaborations with each other.
That's how it should be. Like when you guys do the cupcakes, like when Diaz does cupcakes for you guys, like I look forward to that. I'm like, hell yeah, girl, save me some. Like, you know what I mean? And like we see a bunch of, I'm trying to push distillers. I know it's hard, but distiller and distiller collaboration. That's what I want to see. I want to see Sugar House meets Holy Stone what I mean? Because we don't get a lot of that. You get a lot of, Strap Tank and Hopkins or TF and or Ketos and Proper, right?
Oh, and with our distiller brewery collaboration that'll be coming out in 2022. So we got
Solstice Malt. So we got three way collaboration, right? That's pretty cool.
Solstice is in town, or at least in state, right?
Yeah, so that's the only maltster in Utah. That's James Wheat. And we use his grain to make a beer. And we're sending our beer to the only Utah County brewery is using the only Utah County distillery to make special product.
Hell yeah.
And it's going to be really cool.
That's rad.
Yeah, so it's sitting in barrels right now. We're just going to wait until it's ready. When it's ready, like, it's going to be available at the Strap Tank locations. And the label, like, we're coming up with some little ideas about it so we can have the Strap Tank logo. I have the Solstice Malt and then the clear water on there. So everything's like, we're all on there.
That's trifecta right there.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
You guys are doing good work. That's really cool.
We just love collaborations here. Like, as soon as I kind of took over for Strap Tank, the first thing I started looking into is to try and do some collaborations, because we just were not doing them for some reason. And I'm like, dude, we have all these friends and all these breweries in Salt Lake and also up north in Ogden. And I'm like, well, yeah, let's get together and make a beer. Like, why not?
I think we've done more collaborations with Ogden that we have with Salt Lake.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Technically.
So we did with,
but think about it. It's not endless possibilities. Like, we can, like, there's people in Ogden. We have brewers. Like, one day we're going to do one with Palms of Kings. Like, we'd love to do one there. Cedar City. That's 3.5 hours away. But, like, Heber's on the other side of the mountains in my mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why can't we do one over there? It's just like, let's help each other out. And when's the last time we saw, not to call you out, Gus, I don't know, when's the last time we saw an epic collab?
I think that was Shades last year or 2 years ago. Like, was the, when they did like that? Yeah, I think they.
You may not know the answer to this. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
To be honest, it was before my time. Yeah,
don't worry about it. They probably have.
Seen it in a while.
I guarantee there's been a collab. I'm just not thinking of one up top of my head. But Gus, if you could have the say, I mean, your brewer's got to be involved as well. But Who would you guys want to do a collab with, brewery-wise or distillery-wise? Can you think about anything?
Yeah, I mean...
or is there something we don't know about?
I would have to get a lot of people involved, right? It's not just me who would get to make that decision. But I'd probably try to keep it as local as possible. We're right next to the closest other brewery to us Roja. Is Proper.
Proper?
Proper. They're on the other side of the next block. So...
And
probably them.
Some of the Proper boys worked at Epic anyway. Jeff and Jack both did. So it just makes sense to like a little homage.
That'd be a solid collaboration right there. Because, I mean, Proper already does a ton of barrel-aged, like, crazy beers anyways.
And they make good shit. And they're award-winning. No big deal, right?
But think about that.
Think about that. An Epic Proper? A Proper Epic beer?
That'd be cool.
A Prepic beer?
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
We'll have to work on the name.
I'll help you out on that one.
Propic?
But yeah, they're close. We've got Mixed Blood, like you guys were saying. A lot of that, their guys are here. A lot of our guys are there. It makes sense on that level.
Hell yeah, I guess. This is making me excited. I'm sitting here telling you, gosh, you should do this and this and this. I'm like, I have no say in any of it, bro.
We'll see.
Sorry, dude.
Hey, I can bring it up, but it might
end. If you need help, hey, send it my way. I'll talk their ears off. Ask Derek. Like, yeah, whenever he needs something, like... done like that, Derek's like, David, you talk to him.
Talk to this guy, please.
So let's do, I want to try one of these cans, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Which one, you kept bringing up Spiral Jetty, this India Pale Ale, it's got Citra with Galaxy Hops.
Mosaic, I'm pretty sure. Mosaic,
but or which one do you want to try here?
Dave, you haven't picked one out, so this is your call.
You know
it's
what?
Your turn.
I want to go with Spiral Jetty. I have not had one since...
That is a classic IPA. Like,
let's bring it open. Let's do Spiral Jetty. I haven't had one since 2000, before the pandemic.
That was like my IPA go-to back in the day when I first turned 21 and like home on leave from the military. Because Epic used to have like a little cooler section in the back of... the Beer Hive, like once upon a time.
Oh, gotcha.
And we would always go straight back there because, you know, the Beer Hive was just off the hook. You had to wait for so long for these beers. It was the new hot spot in Salt Lake for beer. So we just went straight to the back where Epic, it was just Epic beers. So that's where I got to try like the Smoked Porter and just kept going back to Spiral Jetty. Just keep going back. And that was, you know, right in the prime when I'm like, you know, IPA, everything. That's all I want is IPA. And after a couple of years, you're like, okay, you know what? I think I'm good on IPAs for a while. Yeah, it's still been that long. But Spiral Jetty was just, it's the IPA that I always found whenever I was in town. And it was great then. I'm sure it's still great now. But hopefully, let's see.
It was special then. It's special now. Gus, what's one of your first like epic beers of all time?
The first one.
Speaking of like OG Spiral, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, man. I think early on, I was getting ready to do tours and like private events and stuff. And so Ryan, our sales manager here, he was tasting me on our beers. And that's a thing we just do every once in a while is like play this game called baseball, where you just kind of guess what you're drinking. So... It's like a blind tasting. Someone opens a beer for you, and you got to guess the style. So before you can even look at it, all you can do is look at it, and you got to guess, what beer is that in our own lineup. And, you know, we don't have a small lineup. I want to say we've got 40-plus beers on tap. So I'd look at it, and judging on the color, I could kind of narrow it down, and I'd give my guess, and it would be strike one. And then I'm at bat again, right? So I can smell the beer. I still can't taste it yet. And I got to give my guess and miss it, strike two, and then
you taste it,
and usually
still get it wrong, strike out.
Yeah, there's a lot of beers.
Strike three, you're fired.
Strike
three,
you're fired.
Whoa!
Hey. So yeah, it was still early on. I had only been hired a few months before, and still hadn't tried most of our beers. Still today, I don't think I've tried most of our beers.
You got a lot of beers, dude. Whew. I mean, it's a whole collection right there.
Just when you think you're making some good leeway and you're like, oh, I'm catching up, I'm almost there, then bam,
next six Baptist series next year. Yeah. And on top of that, all these one-off beers you're going to do. So, yeah, it's like good luck. Good luck trying to keep up and drink all these beers unless you just want to start going into work later and, you know, sleeping in a little bit more.
And hurting every day.
It's like, exactly. I'm in my 30s now, man. It's like, you know, I need a full day. Single... I need a full day of recovery.
No, you're right. But you try to drink every single one, or getting a hold of every single one of the Baptist series, and try drinking them, it's hard. Like, I missed out on a couple of them. I didn't get to try the double chocolate peanut butter cup one or whatever last year because I just, it was so much. It was too, you know, it was, you got so many beers sometimes.
Yeah, but a lot going on.
I'll tell you, my first epic beer, I had to make sure it was the right one, but it was the Son of a Baptist. The coffee cacao, the one of the cans.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the Son, yeah.
SOB. Yeah, that one, like, that's the first one I ever had from Epic. I go, fuck this. This is good. Like, oh my God. Like, I thought I was drinking like coffee. Like, you could have heated it up.
You want to,
like,
mix your uppers with your downers. There you go.
And there it was, homie. And I'm like, this is weird. I love it. And it's like a breakfast beer. It's like, we talked about like oatmeal stouts. Like, that's a stout. I'm like, I'm down every time.
That's my go to for skiing. Like, it was a long night the night before. I got to get up the hill early.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Get my parking spot. And then it's like, oh, sweet. I got a coffee beer right here. Time to actually wake up.
For sure.
But yeah, that first round, it was probably, I was taste testing two different West Coast IPAs. So it was probably our Hopulent IPA versus. Actually, it might have been a West versus East, so I could, like, learn the difference between the two styles.
Oh, cool.
Might have been Hopulent IPA and Chasing Ghosts that first day.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard that one for a minute.
Yeah, they're fun.
Yeah, come out. Epic's got to do the funky beers, like the Elder Brett, stuff like that.
Elder Brett, I remember that one.
Little funky Saisons. Bring back the play on words with, what do you call it, with the... The religious aspect of it. But Gus, what's a flavor of the Big Baptist that you want to see it done? You want to. Or maybe name me two. Name me three.
Ooh, another, like, for next year, you mean? Ooh, I haven't given that one much thought. Usually we get through the season, and then it's like, all right, take one day of breath. All right, now we're going to start brainstorming. Man, you know what I was sipping on last weekend? I went out to Denver. Took the lady out, and we just kind of enjoyed ourselves. Checked out the city, drove through, like, Fort Collins. Unfortunately, didn't get to hit too many breweries, but I did pick up. It was a cinnamon vanilla pastry stout.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no. Okay, that one was good. And then there was this one. It was peanut butter and banana, and it was like...
You lost me on banana. No, thank you.
No, I mean...
Would you like that one?
Yeah, banana? It was tasty.
I think it'd be good in a stout, like the big... Like, think about it. Just a hint of phenolic banana.
Yeah,
just a touch. Just a little bit. But then that peanut butter comes through. That'd be actually really cool. I'd drink it for you.
Yeah, thanks.
It's like bananas, the one... So, like, Derek hates pickles, anything with vinegar. I hate bananas. Like, those are one thing I don't like. Like, I can't stand bananas. Like, like Hefeweizens, I'm like, I'll drink them, right? But... not my go-to.
But as soon as you get that little fennel.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's just in recent memory. So I grabbed it for the label art, and it was on point. It was peanut butter and banana. And so this is good. I could come back for more, for sure.
Exactly how my wife chooses her beers, too. When we go out of state, she just starts looking at the labels. Well, then it turns out she picks, like, some of the best beers. You know, it's like she gets those. She's like, oh, hey, this one's got a fox on it. And I'm like... Yeah, did you look at what it is? Nope.
It's a Belgian triple.
That's a sake. What?
Oh, no. So, Derek, if you could choose a Big Bad Baptist flavor, what would you put?
Ooh. That's a tough one. I think me would just be messing around with all kinds of different, like, woods. I think of even using something like cedar plank, like cedar and just like just the Baptist, and that's it. Like
just the base, and
yeah, not even barrel aging or anything. I mean, you can just you can actually steep like some cedar in hot water, and then brew the beer on top of it, send it, And a couple weeks later, that cedar just starts pulling through like crazy. I think that might play really well.
Oh, like, my mind's
even,
blown right
maybe
now.
Maybe even like cedar and like actual like vanilla beans. There's tons of different things. I think messing around with different styles of wood would be really cool with these, because you got like cherry wood. You can even do like American versus French oak.
French would be sexy.
I mean, even I'm sure Epic's probably done it before, is like putting one of these in like, say, some really dark wine barrels and just go crazy. I mean, possibilities are endless with this beer. Like, there's so many different things you can do with the Baptiste. I mean, you could probably make some cocktails out of everything right here.
That's true.
Just no problem.
Yeah.
It's a great base beer, and I love what Epic's doing. It's just running with it. I mean, it works. The beer is great. And now you get to keep everybody interested every single year.
That's really cool.
It starts getting cold. Now we can look forward to 6 new Baptist beers, like, every single year. Yeah. So when you stop doing that, then we're going to be a little upset because you lied to us.
we can't let everybody down.
Next year, we're like, these are the same 6 that were last year.
You'll get hate. I don't know why. Unfortunately, you'll get hate if you do that. Screw you guys. I'm never supporting.
I think it's a great idea. Just, you know, keep everybody fresh on it. That's the biggest thing with craft beer. People get bored. You have to change things. You can't just make the same beer over and over and over again. Like, yeah, you'll have some very loyal customers that's all they drink. But people are going to get bored. Be like, you know, like... So, like, not saying anything wrong with Spiral Jetty, but someone can drink it like, oh yeah, it was great. Really love it for like 6 months, and like, well, I've had this IPA way too many times. I need something new. Mm-hmm. And immediately go to another company. You're keeping everybody fresh with these new one-offs. Like, yeah, you can still come in and enjoy Spiral Jetty, but now you got the Tangerine. Then it's got Citra, and then you're gonna roll into some new stuff. Like, you're keeping everybody fresh and excited and happy. And I think that is key in the craft brewing industry.
For sure. It's a cutthroat business, as you guys know. In the sense that there's a brewery on every corner.
Yeah.
Maybe not in Utah yet, but
Utah's
in some
getting
places.
There. Like, think like 10 years ago, there was a brewery here, over here, way over here.
Now you got neighbor breweries almost.
Yeah. Stone's throw away. You'll hit one. So, yeah, I mean, you got to be creative and think a little bit outside of the box with, like, the way you're approaching your own customer base, like your diehard fans that come back every week versus the people that are searching for something new, something unique.
Yeah.
There's all sorts of different beer drinkers out there, and it is tough to keep them all happy, but...
It is.
Got to try.
It's impossible to keep everybody happy. It is absolutely
Unless you
impossible.
Do a... Baptist Seltzer series, and then you'll keep everyone happy.
Got the Baptist Double IPA, Big Bad Sour Baptist. Big Bad Funky Baptist. Big Bad Pumpkin Baptist. I'll just stop now.
Like, wow, God. You're taking that to another one, Gus. All I get. Woo! So I say we end on one more. And I'm looking at this Double Jam because I feel like we need to drink it.
You've had your eye on that pretty much the entire time.
That one and the mint one, because I'm looking at the mint one, I'm like, I'm still upset about the, I'm upset about the label. I'm looking at it because you can't put a double barrel shotgun on the double barrel one, and you can't put raspberries and blackberries on the double jam, but not do anything with the chocolate mint. Next to the guy, or you can't put a Black Forest cake. You know what I mean? I'm just, that's just me being snooty.
You've got a point. You got a point.
And the naked one you haven't blurred out? I mean, for heaven's sakes.
That one was pretty fun,
that's
right?
That's epic, yes. That's pretty good. No pun intended, but it's epic. It really is. So let's open this Double Jam one. What do you guys think about that?
Let's do it.
And Gus, I have a few more questions for you in regards to the brewery itself. So what are your guys' hours like? Because it's a tap room. You have to be 21 or older to go there. Explain what needs to happen. Like, what's your hours? How many days you guys are open? Can I get any and all epic beers at that tap room?
Yeah. So downtown at 825, we're open 7 days a week. Our hours for to-go beer are 11 to 9 from Monday to Thursday.
Okay.
On Friday and Saturday, it drops down to 10
cool.
to 11 p.m.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, a little bit more. And then on Sundays, it's a bit shorter. It's 11 to 7 right now.
Cool.
And that's just for to-go beer. And then we've got our Tapless Tap Room that's open. And
where is Tapless Tap Room?
It's attached to the to-go spot. So it's our little shoulder-to-shoulder bar. Duh. It's like, I want to say it's Utah's smallest bar or something like that.
Very COVID-friendly.
It was funny. When all those regulations came out, we had to basically close the bar.
Because there's no way.
Or put one person at the bar at top and be like, they were done. Yeah. Close.
No, I think we could fit six people in there.
Damn, so
it was just like, it ain't worth
it's
it.
Like, no. Yeah.
Things are better, but, you know, like right now, the climate's kind of iffy. So we're thinking about dropping the hours again.
Gotcha.
But same hours right now.
Cool.
For both the Tapless Tap Room and the to-go section.
Gotcha.
And is there any like other bars and stuff in Salt Lake that carry like a lot of Epic beers, or are they still just kind of a handful here and there?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with our all our placements around town. I mean, the typical go-to beer bars, like I know Slackwater does a great job, and I don't know if
I see Slackwater doing you know, the tap takeovers every now and then. I mean, Slackwater's great. Joey really loves to be involved with all the locals, so he'll make time. Like, we were there at the beginning of the summer for a tap takeover. Ogden River is there, like, the same few days that we were there. It's great. Slackwater's awesome. It's a great place to go. And, like, the Bayou, of course, the Bayou's always got, like, you know, pretty much everybody's beer. And Beer Hive and Beer Bar.
Yep.
I was just saying, if maybe for some reason you guys had another little location where, you know, if you didn't want to be in such tight quarters, you know, go and hang out at another location that serves quite a bit of Epic beers. Uh-huh. But yeah, I'm guessing beer bars, like.
yeah, it's the same old for us.
Gotcha. We looking to change at all? Do you know that?
I would love to have a patio right there.
Ooh.
In our spot, like open up the space, make it nice to like sit down, have a drink, hang out for a while, but. It's so congested right there. We don't have a lot of room for growth.
Yeah, I feel bad because I feel like every time I go to Epic, I gotta do that U-turn just to go back to Epic.
Yeah.
God damn. It's all good.
Yeah, it's rough.
One day. Spot. All right, gentlemen. So this is the Double Jam Big Bad Baptist Imperial Stout Whiskey Barrels, Coffee, Cacao, Raspberries, and Blackberries. Here we go.
Right there on the nose.
So I've got a fun thing for you guys. Today, it's a little bit inspired by, is it Melissa with Sweet Vinyl Cupcakes? So we did a collaboration with her last year for a couple beers.
Yeah.
And then this year, we kind of wanted to keep things going on. We did this cool thing with a company called Flourish Bakery. They're down in Midvale. And it's a really rad organization. It's a nonprofit. They help people who struggle with addiction or were recently incarcerated. They help them by giving them a skill to bake and then just kind of readjust to normal society. And so we partnered with them, and they made different baked goods for all of the releases. So we have six on deck this fall, and this is one for Double Jam. So we just got this today as well as the beer. So I'd love for you guys to try it. It's a little pairing. This is Utah... Shortbread, raspberry shortbread. So let's crack this thing up.
Tease me with a good time. Jesus. That's awesome. So are these going to be available at the tap room as well?
They are available at the tap room on a very limited supply.
Cool.
We only got 24 of each flavor, so it's just first come, first serve.
Will they be available at Flourish too, or just at the Tapless Tap Room?
I believe they have them at Flourish too. I'm not sure when they're like, they might be seasonal releases for those guys. So maybe
that's
not
really
all the time.
So you're going to have a Black Forest version and a naked version. What's a naked version?
Yeah. Naked was, that one was the first one we released a few weeks ago.
Just salty without salt.
Salty. I can pull up the list really quick.
That'd be awesome, yeah.
Let's see. Naked Baptist was Almond Joy Sable Mini Cookies. So they were these little, almost like a saltine in shape, but they're dark.
That thing's fucking money.
Derek just had the shortcake.
That is so good.
Dude, Flourish doesn't fuck around. They make some good stuff, which is fun that they were able to do this for us. This one is the Utah Raspberry Shortbread. We did another sable cookie. It was an espresso chocolate sable cookie.
For the double barrel?
For double barrel, hell you got yeah. it. chocolate mint, it was vanilla Madeleines.
Ooh.
Yeah, we got this whole should have
done some like Girl Scout thin mints, man.
Yeah, some like local thin mints. What are those, Andes?
The Andes chocolate mints, the pillow mints.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The pillow mints.
This shortbread is like, it's money, dude. It's not over the top sweet, like raspberries there. The shortbread, like just over the top. I love the, like, I don't know what, like the little crusties that's on the top. It's good.
Yeah,
it's
you good. Were thinking.
It's soft. It's,
Rice Krispie treats.
Yeah, when you look at it, it looks at, like a Rice Krispie treat from a distance. Mm-hmm. But yeah, then you put it in your mouth and it's a game changer. You know, game changer.
I like this double jam, so by the way. I've been sipping on it. It's, I thought it would be over the top, like, okay, I don't mean over the top, but I thought it'd be like a hella raspberry and hella blackberry. It's actually very complimentary. I like it. I enjoy it.
It's good. I get a little bit more tartness from it, but that's definitely going to be from those like different berries. Doing raspberries and blackberries, especially with that like issue that Oregon and Washington had, that heat wave. I lucked out right on time getting these berries in because they're going to be hard to find soon. Very hard to find.
Yeah.
It's a good beer. The nose on it is fantastic. Like, right there. Like, definitely way more raspberry on the nose. But, like, it plays so well with the chocolate background of these Baptist series. Like, this was a solid choice doing, like, these two berries together in this beer. And then the shortbread.
That shortbread is good.
Uh-huh. It's good.
I just paired it with the stout. Yeah, it's fantastic because that shortbread brings like softens the whiskey aspect of the barrel, but it brings out the fruit flavors inside of the beer. It's really nice, actually. I enjoy it because I have a little sweet tooth, so fantastic. Love that
little sweet tooth.
I have a big. I put my Twinkie beer.
You put Twinkies in there.
I think we still have some Twinkies too.
You want to end on a Twinkie there?
Got it. Yeah. Let's end it on.
Let's just dunk it in the double barrel. It's like,
might as well. Ooh. So we do a Big Baptist Twinkie version.
Hey, patent pending.
No, I just can't wait till there's a Big Baptist Taste Masters. Series or a version of it. I love that one. No, but Gus. What's something, one last big question for you, 2022 coming up, what's a goal of yours personally and a goal of yours inside Epic?
Ooh, big question. Personally, I'd say to make more connections in the beer community. You guys are awesome. Everybody I bump shoulders with is awesome.
Hell yeah.
It's a really cool place. I love being here. Just continuing on that trend.
Hell yeah.
And then your second question was...
inside of Epic for 2022, what do you want? What do you want to do or bring to the table to make Epic better?
I mean, like, I have no shortage on ideas, but it's like actually executing and seeing them through. That's tough. I mean, I think bringing Epic to a place where we have a stronger relationship with the other local breweries too. I feel like when we started, it was pretty solid, and then maybe it fell off a little bit there.
I think you're right.
So I'd like to bring that back.
Because I brought that up when I was with the Proper Boys. I asked, what happened to Epic? We don't see anyone from Epic. I don't see the brewers around ever. I don't see them at the events we always have. I don't see them at festivals. So, I guess in a way, if you want Epic to get out there more, I think you're right. You need to go be a part of the culture, be a part of it, come to the events we all throw, the brewers events and everything like that, festivals as well. Even if you're not going to be pouring at a festival, I think you guys should show up, brewers or whoever's a part of the team, support, and say, hey, I'm from Epic. Like, Gus, that's how I know you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who the hell are you? Are you a brewer? Nah, bro, I'm from Epic. What do you do? Like, I don't know. And that's the same thing. Like, just because you don't brew or distill, you're still a part of the the community. So that's why you're here. I wouldn't be interviewing you if I didn't care and if you weren't important. You do have a voice inside of Epic. You really do. So when you say you have all these ideas, but you don't think people listen? Bro, if you're passionate about it, they will listen. I promise. Like the Twinkie beer, it should be your example. The guy who's traditional brewer, and I can come up to him and be like, hey, we're going to do a beer that you have never done before and has never been done before. And, he's like, throw it on me, right? And at first I was kind of like, my toe between my legs, like, this is kind of embarrassing, but this is what I want to do. And you know what? He sees something in me where he gave me the reins on that, and I've been geeking ever since. And I've been talking my beer up. It could be dog shit. I don't know. It hasn't released it next week. Like, I don't know. But everyone's super excited to drink this beer because I'm super excited for it. So if you're super excited for an idea that you have, just keep doing that, dude. Live your soul and heart. Be passionate about it. Be who you are because you are a cool person. Again, or else you wouldn't be here. And do that, dude. I have all hopes in you. And if you need something, you got Derek and I, not just as brewers, but as friends, like as tastemasters. Like, we got it. You come help us, we'll help you. And yeah, dude, if you need something, let me know. I'll give you some recipe ideas. I mean, double J. I got you Big Baptist Twinkie. Like, let's do it. That's a tastemaster one.
The tastemaster series, right?
For real, dude. But if there's anything you need, don't be scared to ask, dude. Anyone in the brewing community, because we are all friends. And if they're not going to give back to you, then go to the next one, because we're pretty friendly, dude. Most of us. 98% of us are.
98%.
Yeah.
I'd say 98%.
But Gus, is there anything that, as tastemasters in this platform, is there anything we can do to help you, help the Baptist series, help Epic? Anything for that, brother?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I haven't brainstormed. I love what you guys are doing. I think it's really cool that you guys have this podcast focused on not even just the beer community. It expands to the Utah alcohol community, which is pretty, it's been an outcast community for a long time. But because of you guys and because of other loud voices around here, it's starting to be seen and represented more. So I really enjoy what you're doing.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate that. I've never heard the word outcast for a while, and I feel like maybe I'm doing this because I feel like an outcast, and I want to bring all the outcasts together in a way. Like, as I've always thought about, like, why the hell am I doing this? Because I meet cool artists like Derek, and like these people are passionate about, like, I want to meet the brewers. I want to meet, you know, Jordan and all these guys who brew the Baptist series, and be like, I want to know, like, talk to me. You know what I mean? I want to know why this shit's so good. Like, let's go. And like the cool stories, like with Corinne's story with the tangerine. Like, I want those cool stories. People are going to go get this tangerine beer, like, oh, cool, I think it's ABBA. Oh, sweet, Dancing Queen, and drink it, not know the cool story behind it. But if you know Corinne and her daughter, you'd be like, ah, that's cute as fuck. Like, I love that, right? And it means more. That beer means more to me now because I know the story behind it. And so, yeah, dude, if there's anything I can do to help you, you know, shout out the Baptist series, I will shout it out, dude. If you got new beer coming out, let me know. I'll hit it up. But yeah, dude, we're here for you.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time out of your Friday. What's today? Friday, Saturday, Sunday?
It's Friday.
Friday.
Who knows?
To come down and, you know, in the middle of the day, your busy schedule, and come hang out with us for a second. And yeah, dude, thanks. I can't thank you enough, dude.
Likewise, you guys. Thanks for taking a break from your day and let me come down here and show my story and everything. Yeah, it's been awesome.
So thank you very much. You down to co-host anytime?
I mean, you show me the ropes, and yeah, for sure.
This is the ropes. You just lived it. This is it, dude. You went through one round, you're good, dude. All
right.
That's all it is. Yeah. That's the only thing I have. You want to be a co-host, you got to be interviewed first. That's it.
Cool.
That's it, dude.
Cool, yeah.
You did it.
I'm in the club, for sure.
Yeah, you are. Hell yeah. Well, thanks, Gus, for that time. And then, yeah, Derek, you have anything for us today?
Oh, no. No, it's great to get back into some Epic beers. I mean, it's been quite a while since I've, like, actually had some Epic beers, so this has been very nice. And just to help remind me that, you know, Epic's still kicking ass.
Yeah.
Like that's what's great to hear. You know, you're right. You know, Epic kind of fell off the map for a lot of people, including myself. And it's nice to get back into some of these beers. The Spiral Jetty definitely took me back. And the Baptist series, just bigger and just as badass. Like, you know, it's great. No, great job.
Just because we forgot about them doesn't mean they still are doing great things, you know? Sometimes they get overshadowed by the newer breweries or the newer products coming out, but there's still some good OGs out here.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We got to show love to all the new up-and-coming breweries. There's some awesome
stuff
coming
out. And the old fogies, like the old Red Rock and Uinta Squatters.
Show love everywhere.
They're still doing good shit. You know, I was at Red Rock the other night. They're still doing good shit, you know? But, Gus, Derek, thank you so much for being co-host. Gus, thanks for coming today. And we'll end it on that. Until the next beverage, my friends.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at Fuse_audio.